Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good day, my homies. It's me, Richard Herring, from off of Rahalastapa, welcoming you to another Rahalastapa. Hope you're going to enjoy it. This week, it's with John Cairns, who I have to tell you is one of my absolute favourite guests of all time. This one made me laugh so much. There's some magic between me and this guy. He did one of the Edinburgh shows where I just took the piss. And that continued into this episode. But he's a genius. And I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this one. So please do watch or listen. If you are unsure of who John Cairns is, again, you're an idiot. Why don't you know who these guests are? Why are you telling people you don't know? You just look foolish. He's good. Anyway, if you don't know who he is, please come and see the shows live. We're not doing a massive tour as yet this year, though I'm sure there'll be lots more dates added. We're coming to London. Still tickets available in March and April on Mondays. And we're coming to Birmingham on March 28th, which is selling very fast. Thank you again. I can't believe how many people come and see me at this Birmingham Podcast Festival. It's so lovely. 3 p.m. on the 28th of March. Norwich, 2 shows, sold out already, even though it's in April. Come on. You've got to get booking ahead. Just be sure, my friends. Do spread the word about the podcasts if you enjoy them. That is as good as contributing monetary value to us. Actually, it's not as good, but it's do both. But just tweet, retweet. Just speak to people with your mouth and your face next to their... Not right that close. That would be too close. Just if you see them, go, watch Rihanna's Ball, listen to it. And they'll go, who are you? Why are you in my house? And you go, Charlotte, that's nearly that. You've nearly nicked that joke off someone else. And they go, yeah, I have. Anyway, I'm not drunk. I'm not drunk. I haven't had a drink since December 2018, except for one beer that I drank accidentally, thinking it was an alcoholic beer. So I've had one drink in December 2019. That's the last time I had a drink. Yeah, I could still be drunk from that one. This isn't going out, is it? All right, sit back, relax, and enjoy one of my favourite ever Rahalastapas with John Cairns. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Winchester Theatre Royal. We're back again. It's lovely, isn't it? And please welcome a man who is sick and tired of dealing with all the rubbish his daughter is bringing home. It's Richard Herring! Hello!
Manchester! You're much better than last week's audience. They were cunts, a lot of them. What a load of cunts they were. So, welcome. Believe me, I'm very prepared for this bit. Welcome to Richard Herring's Levitating Saucepan Trampoline Podcast. I've made a trampoline out of saucepans. It just hovers slightly above the ground. Every week I'll get a different celebrity to come on. See, they can jump on the saucepans. It's a very thought out. I mean, to be honest, that's better than many of the ones that I've just... better than the one about leprosy, isn't it? So, I thought hard, long and hard about that. But I was hanging out at Buttercross just before the show. I was trying to dismantle it and take it to Cranberry Park, but people don't know their own history in this town. And but all the locals got together. They forced me to leave it where it was. I had to make a replica. Not been on Wikipedia looking up Winchester today, kids? No. I have. Anyway, the people who stopped me, they call it Rathlestapa. It's just there, isn't it? Just in the butter. I was disappointed by the lack of butter. False advertising. But it is lovely back in Winchester. We did talk about Winchester a lot last week. So you missed it if you were here. If you went in. I want to talk to you about... My daughter's just started primary school. She's in year one, I think that it's called now. I don't understand this newfangled ways of describing years. But every day, right, she brings back... get her to school, and she's... holding on some fucking milk bottle with some tape round it. That's what she got. This. She said, I made you a present, Daddy. I made Mummy a present. I came out. She had a milk bottle with just black brown tape wrapped around it. That was a present for me. And she had a ketchup bottle with brown. That was for her mum. And she said, there were bottles that we could break. They weren't. They're made of plastic. And then you stick them back together again with the tape. Then you have to imagine you've broken them. That's not a present, is it? And she had just had a cardboard tube that she hadn't even done anything to, that we had to hold on to. I just think this teacher's got in some kind of racket where he's getting rid of loads of rubbish, isn't he? He's just got, how do I get? Got loads of recycling. I don't want to bother to do it myself. There's 26 kids in this class. They're all getting 3 bits a day. What's that, 78 bits a day? It's like... over 400 bits of rubbish. It's better than fly tipping. It's legal, isn't it? I saw him counting 50 quid notes at the end of the week. I resent it. They're shit. The thing is, I wouldn't mind if it's good. It's just shit, and I can't throw it away. She'd go, where's my milk bottle with tape around it? That was a present. The worst fucking shit I've ever seen. My son's pretending to be a cat all the time. It's nuts. What's wrong with them? Anyway, so I'm annoyed about that. We're very lucky this week. We've got a fantastic guest. He's probably best known for playing Peter in the Weirdos Comedy Club reproduction of the film Hook. That's why we're all here to see, talk to him about that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's John Ken! John Ken, there he is. Welcome, come sit down.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure to have you, because I had you... You were on one of the Edinburgh Fringe podcasts. You're on the very last Edinburgh Fringe podcast of 2019.
Yeah, I was on the very last one.
Yeah, the last one, you're the last guest.
And I'd finished my show the day before.
Yeah.
And at one point during the interview... you looked at your watch and started counting down the time.
Yeah.
Which is pretty offensive considering you've written books with questions
I didn't ask you one emergency scenario. Question.
You didn't ask me a single question. You said how tired you were.
Yeah.
That you had to drive home.
It was the last one.
I'd finished... I'm aware it was the last one. I'd finished my run.
Yeah.
And we sat there as about, 200 people in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
We're like, what are these two?
So, thought I'd get you back to do the same again. This time in Winchester.
Well, I was a bit worried at the interval. You were like, yeah, I've done 3 this week. I'm knackered. I'm like, well, here we go.
I am really
as
tired.
As I stood there and you ran off to get your book because you'd left here, I thought, well...
And you know what?
That's not great. When where's the emergency questions?
You know what? I've got to...
We could put a DVD on.
I've got to drive home after this as well. So I'm not...
I heard about a lift in the email, and then that turned into... I mean, the trains run to 11, John. And I'm like, yeah, but I might have to check with you, Rich, because there's a massive storm apparently coming tonight, so I'm not sure if I can get home. Genuinely, he went, well, do you know what? If you have to stay, we'll pay for that. you'd rather pay for me to stay in Winchester for a night?
It's expensive, man.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Winchester, fucking hell. You'd be staying in the Buttercross, mate. That's where I'm putting you up.
Oh, even if there are trains going, yeah. I have to stay.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You have to stay. You're welcome to have a look. You're welcome to have... It's me. I have to go out my way. I live in Hertfordshire, so I'd have to actually go into London to drive you home.
Do you have a nice car?
I've got a Charan. It's quite messy. I don't wash it. It's got some... I was at a festival in Yorkshire before I went to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And the mud that splattered up the side of the car is still on it.
Get that framed.
Yeah. It's good. Should we just sit here awkwardly for the rest of the hour?
Well, I mean, you also opened... I mean, I heard it.
Yeah.
You went... did the video for the people that pay for the extra content.
Yeah, I should do that. It's a good one this week. Yeah.
And you went... And I think I heard you correctly. You went, okay, this week I'm with... John Kearns, apparently he's a stand-up comedian.
I said he's a kind of comedian, is what I said. So tell us about being Peter in Weirdo's Comedy Club reproduction of Hook. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, a kind of comedian.
Oh, well, in 2012,
yeah,
a collective of comedians called the Weirdos... kind of like alternative acts that aren't paid to do comedy at the time. At the time, they do a panto every year, and all the money goes to Great Ormond Street. And
fucking applaud him. What about me collecting the scope? You fucking nothing. £300,000, I'm like, man, what has he made doing his... Peter, you go and watch the proper Hook. No one's going to watch him. Sorry. Yes, John, it sounds like it sounds like a lovely thing to do.
Adam Larter.
Yeah.
A fantastic comedian. A Svengali, I'd say, of London's alternative scene in the 2010s. watched Hook and bizarrely wrote up the script watching it.
Okay.
And then we just performed that without any edits.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube. And it, you know, I've lost some good friends to those nights.
So you were the Robin Williams character in that, was you?
Yeah, Holly Byrne was Tinkerbell.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
And, you know, it was there was about 40 of us in Bethnal Green Working Men's Club, which is it's a fantastic venue, but, like, the owner, you know, even to get in the building, you don't know when that guy's going to turn up, and you got to call him, and it's like, you know he's upstairs in bed, but you're like... We're all outside. Can we come in? He's like, yeah. I'll just be down in a minute. Open the door. Hour later, nothing. But yeah, so, that's what that was. It was kind of, but they did it every year.
Yeah.
And then, and they started writing their own stuff. I mean, it probably breached huge, actually, it probably didn't breach huge copyright laws because Great Ormond Street, they own the rights to Peter Pan.
That's true, yeah.
That legal loophole.
So they can turn around. And also,
although they probably don't own Hook.
Yeah. Is it Spielberg, Hook? I mean, if he came in and said, "Excuse me, give me that fucking money back. Give me that dialysis, machine." I don't know who it was. Was he the director? It would be a bad look for whoever owns the right to Hook if they took the money off Great Ormond Street. They've raised £75 for Great Ormond Street doing this. They worked very hard. £10,000, not bad.
Fine. £10,000.
That would take me like about 4 months of collecting buckets of these pricks.
They're big as Z. The cash machine.
Oh, yeah, Izetta. I've got it for my merchandise, but I don't have it for charity.
Why not?
Because I'd have to have about 10 of them dotted. I've got some. Look at the size of these venues.
For the cameras, it's a 2,000 seater.
Have to rush around. I did talk. Scope decided a text number would be better. I wasn't sure. And to be fair, so far I've been vindicated. Because all it means is people go, "Oh yeah, I'll do the text," and then not do anything. So they can get out of everything.
Would you accept like a CBE?
I don't know. It came up actually because of the stuff.
What does that mean?
I don't know if I'm allowed to. There was a friend.
Because they don't offer it.
No.
They
have to offer it. They have to know that there's a chance the person who's going to get it would want to have it. So there was a point where
I don't know what you're talking about.
They try to fight because if the person's going to turn it down, they don't want to offer it to the person who's going to turn it down. So it was for something else, from some other charity work I do. But we might have to cut this out. But my wife was going, "You wouldn't want a CBE or anything if that came up, would you?" And I went, "Oh, no, I wouldn't want it." And then about 2 months later, she said, "You know, when I was asking you about that, it's because your friend works for the government and he was going to suggest that because of the refuge thing I do with the International Women's Day." And I went, "Oh." Didn't know there was going to be a real one. So I was just being cool. Just pretending to be cool. Cut the fucking one.
Stuart does a lot of charity nights. He does. But, you know, if you got a CBE,
yeah,
that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. So, no, I would definitely turn it down if that that was just edit those bits together.
I'll just reference it throughout.
So, I don't know. It'd be weird. A few people, you know... I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it for... don't know why I'm doing it. It's a real fucking pain in the ass.
What, the buckets?
I've got to put the programs on the seats. Got to go to the bank. I used to have to count all the money up and put it in little bags and then put it into the bank. It took a long time. Now they've got a machine, you can just tip it into the machine. It's a bit easier. I mean, all I wanted really was a free parking thing for the car.
Do you get that?
No, they wouldn't give me them fuckers. 300 grand.
If you earn over 100 grand, you should get like a little sticker.
I definitely should. Or something. You get something back, shouldn't you?
You get nothing for
nothing.
It.
Nothing. They did me a picture once.
Hang on. Where'd you get the buckets? They give you buckets. Yeah, there we go.
They give me new buckets every time as well, so I've got a lot of buckets.
Have you got them all at home?
They break.
What?
They break.
They break? Yeah. Why? Oh, the money, yeah.
The money going in them, man. All of this is unusable. So, well done for the raising that money. Would you have a CBE if they offered you a CBE for doing pretending to be Robin Williams? A bit sick, if you ask me now in hindsight. He's dead now. How can you do that before he died?
Was he dead then?
He was
in 2012. He wasn't dead then.
He wasn't dead then, but he died in the future. You should have looked ahead.
So your rule is you can't perform anyone who might die.
Yeah, if they die in a tragic way.
But you can't use this bit either.
No. Let's start again. Let's start again. This is what really happened in the Richard E. Grant interview. So it's...
You weren't allowed to release...
I wasn't allowed to release Richard E. Grant, no.
They're like the lost scrolls of...
They are. Very exciting.
They are.
And Ricky Wilson, I wasn't allowed to... Well, I decided not to release Ricky Wilson, to be fair.
Really? You took that...
I took that, because a lot of people would have been very happy with what we got that night. I was brilliant. I was genuinely was brilliant.
I know someone who has a recording of that.
Do you?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm brilliant, I know. Have you listened to it?
Well, it's the best one. Have you really been going 15 years? This?
What? This podcast? Yeah. 12. Well, no, podcast 12 years. This podcast about 7 or 8 years.
Bugger me.
Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you mean tonight it feels like that just tonight so far? And yet, when people look at the time code, why is this podcast only 1 minute long so far?
Just the audience
seeming
in
hysteria. Oh, it can go out. It's fine. It can go out, can't it? I'll maybe take the bit about Robin Williams out.
I don't think there was nothing wrong with that.
It was just rubbish. So, is there another series?
I loved him. I absolutely loved him.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Huh?
Of course she loved him. He was great. Oh, a bit mawkish, though. I mean, and that's not a pun. But he was, though, wasn't he? I don't... Like, there's certain comedians who become actors and then start taking themselves a bit too seriously. And the face that Robin Williams pulls when he's been too serious in comedy films is one of my worst things.
Like what bit? Oh, that bit.
Like all of his last 10 films all the way through. But yeah, it's very sad when he died.
He played Wimbledon Theatre.
Did he?
Yeah, he did the Prince's Trust gigs.
Right.
And he did Wimbledon Theatre. And I grew up in South London.
Yeah.
And I think it was like in 2005, maybe?
Yeah.
It just blew my mind that, you know, Robin Williams was performing in Wimbledon.
Yeah. He did some gigs in, where was it? Down in...
he did Math Brown's gig.
Math Brown's gig. Where's that? That's in Twickenham or somewhere like that, isn't it?
So, yeah. Adam Lauter, who I mentioned, was there. Just because he went to Kingston Uni.
Right.
And they went to...
he just turned up and
Math's
did a gig.
Gig. Yeah. It was Al Murray.
Yeah. Al would have been annoyed about that. Funny, Al likes being the centre of attention. Fucking Robin Williams turns up. That's going to be his...
Yeah, it's quite
that's going to be his worst night ever, isn't it?
Well, so who else was on? Oh god, he was in Gladiator. Right. He belly danced.
Russell Crowe. Ahmed Jalili.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oliver Reed. Oh, sorry, I've got it.
Imagine watching Al Murray and Ahmed Jalili, and then Robin Williams comes on the headlines. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, got a little bit of a surprise for you right now, John. Imagine that. Imagine if, me and Robin Williams...
What, 5 years ago?
Colluded. He'd faked his own death so that I go, what I'll do, I'll get John Kemp's all the way down to Winchester.
I mean, you've got to keep it in now because it's gone on so long that we really won't end up with anything.
Okay, John Kerr's down to Winchester to say, yeah, can I be on the show, John? Oh, just the last minute.
I'll get him to do, I won't get him to do the Leicester Square one. Winchester. Let's get him down Winchester.
Imagine how nuts the crowd would go if Robin Williams came on now. They'd be like,
he's coming from the back, surely.
They'd be angry with him for a second. And then...
Well, yeah, hang on. If he comes on, I'm looking at you first. Yeah. I can't believe it. I then feel maybe some of you are in on it as well. What's he do?
Yeah.
What does he do? Where's he been? He's got so many...
Well, we would discuss that.
He's got so many fucking
We'd have you sit, we'd
answer.
Bring another chair on, you'd still be sitting there. But really, the conversation would be... He'd have to. There's only one mic. He'd have to have the mic. So you couldn't even chip in with a question.
Well, so I'm just sat here watching you two.
And we still have to bill it as John Cairns on the...
Right, oh, you don't mention these, come on.
So the people at home could get the fun of it as well. And we'd have to swear everyone to secrecy until March next year when this comes out.
March?
Yeah, I reckon.
Fuck me.
It might be February. Yeah.
So where's he now then? Because we're recording this in October.
Yeah.
So does he have to wait till it's released? So all this audience got to be like, what are you doing? Do you tell them to be quiet about
that?
Yeah. Right, you didn't see that.
That's my plan.
You write a blog every day. You'll not mention it? Okay. Just, you don't make 5 months every day writing about what happened in your day. You don't mention it.
I don't. There we go.
So where is he?
He's been hiding out. We had a plan.
No, between now, the day we're recorded,
yeah,
and the day it's released, yeah, what's he up to?
We'll just leave him. He'll be back in the dressing room in here.
He's in the Winchester. He's in a dressing room in Winchester.
Yeah.
For 5 months.
Yeah. No, he's already been hiding out for 4 years or something, hasn't he? So it's not...
In the dressing room. Waited 4 years in Winchester for me to turn up. You didn't even know you were touring this 4 years ago.
I didn't really know you 4 years ago. Well, I did, but not. Couldn't have predicted it. Anyway, let's start again. So, is there another series of Top Coppers coming out?
Is that a joke? That's 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's a joke.
I know it's a joke. They don't. They haven't even heard of it. Fuck me. Is there another series of Top Coppers coming out? Wow. No, there isn't. Fuck me. Is there another series of Fist of Fun coming out? No, you know what? It was great.
It was good. I was watching.
It was really good, man. It was a good sitcom, but it was right when BBC Three.
Nothing. I'm just still laughing at me. Ask if there's another series.
You're still laughing. You're still laughing at your own question. Oh, man. But yeah, BBC Three shut the channel shut down.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
And then they're like, they tried to flog it to another BBC channel. They don't want it.
No.
And then we just got an email. I remember we got an email the first Monday of the new year from the producer going, we haven't had a no, but... It's just best everyone gets on with their lives. So it never got cancelled.
No.
Never got a no. Yeah. It happened. And because it was only one series, it doesn't even get a... If something's one series, it doesn't even get a release on a DVD or anything.
Mm.
So the only way you can watch it is on the director's website. As a showreel.
But the same thing happened to This Morning, Richard Not Judy. We haven't heard yet. There's another series of that. All that happened was when I went to Edinburgh that summer, I was going to meet Steve Coogan to talk about something. He liked a script I'd sent. Nothing came of it, but we were going to write something together. We were at a party, and Steve Coogan said, oh, have you met Jane Root, who was the controller of BBC Two at the time, whose decision it was whether they get a new series? And she didn't say anything to me. She just turned her back on me. didn't say hello or anything. She said, oh, have you met Richard Herring? This is Jane Root. Turned her back. I thought we're probably not getting another series. That was the moment I thought that's probably definitely not another series. But you never know, it might come back.
When did that finish?
1999. 20 years. 20 years ago.
Was that, what channel was that on?
BBC Two, proper BBC Two. Not BBC Three, BBC Two. Yeah, 20 years.
I mean,
20 years ago that was. Ahishar wasn't even born then. It was good Top Coppers though, so it was a bit like, you know, we did a
I don't believe you've watched it.
I did. I watched a bit of it. Yeah, ginger hand beard. That was part of the joke. Copperhead. Two coppers. They were called Rust and Mahogany.
Mahogany. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. See. Couldn't just have got that off Wikipedia, could I? when we did Fist of Fum, yeah. We had a thing like we made up sitcoms, and my favourite one was called Bent Coppers, in which Ian Bent and Simon Bent are two coppers, whom's crooked and one of whom's homosexual.
And they waiting for it.
And they both got curvature of the spine, and they're made of copper. They're robots from the future.
They're robots.
Yeah, they're robots.
They're robots, mate. He's a gay robot.
One of them's a gay robot with curvature of the spine. The other's a crooked robot policeman with the curvature of the spine. Was that an influence on Top Coppers? That where you got the idea from?
I didn't write it.
I know you didn't. Yeah, I've seen it on Wikipedia. It. I mean, I haven't seen it on Wikipedia.
The robots are made out of copper.
Yeah.
And do they live in a world where everyone is also a robot?
No. I don't know, we didn't think that far ahead.
Oh, it wasn't a... You didn't film a little...
We didn't film, no, we just did it.
What, you just looked down the camera and said that? Stuart went, and now Richard pitches six.
Yeah, more or less, I think, yeah.
What were the others?
Eye on the ball, Adam I, the guy who did the video game reviews for Live and Kicking. Lives on Zoe Ball, I guess that was. They're usually involved. Bird in the Hand, Ian Bird is the manager of the Bird pub. Hilarity ensues. That kind of thing.
Is this on YouTube?
I don't know if we did it. Did we do it did we do it in the show? I think we did. It was in the book. Anyway, look, let's not talk. This isn't about me.
No, it was a good stick.
This show is not about me and the fact that I've turned down many honours from the Queen. This show is about you.
You're not allowed near the Queen. The stuff that you edit out.
Yeah, it's true.
You're not allowed anywhere near Buckingham Palace.
Well, it's not as bad as the stuff Prince Andrew's done, is it? So it's that's. If she lets him in, I've got to be allowed in. I've just said stuff. He's like...
Yeah, you have said a lot.
I've said stuff, but that's not as bad as doing stuff, is it? That's the comedian's conundrum, isn't it? If you say something, is that as bad as doing the thing? No, it is not.
No.
It isn't. That's so, in a way, Prince Andrew is worse than me. In many ways. I can't tell you things he's done. But if you you can watch it in the behind the scenes bits. are you ever mistaken for the World War II hero John Kent, who died at age 95 with no family, but 200 people came to his funeral? You have been mistaken.
So I'm not allowed to play someone who might die, yeah. But I can play someone after they've died.
No, I just wonder if anyone's ever gone, John Kent, aren't you that 95-year-old RAF hero who died and no one was going to come to his funeral, but then loads of people came? Has that ever happened to you, that misunderstanding? He's got the same name as you, he's called John Kent.
95?
Yeah.
No one knew who he was?
Well, he didn't have any family, so then all the service... It's a beautiful story. I'm surprised you know. He's got your name.
Right.
Didn't you not hear about it when you were Googling yourself?
Have you thought about what you'd want played at your funeral?
I haven't really. I don't really care about...
How long's the... Lord of the Dark City.
Could subject people to that.
Just 10 screens showing different shows all at the same time. You pick your own, you pick headphones of what you want to hear.
I don't really. I'm not bothered about my funeral. I'd quite like just be thrown in the skip. But skip. Just like don't go. It's a lot of expense. When my grandma, who was 102, I bought her a coffin. I thought it'd be a nice thing to do. Just as a, you know, it's 500 quid. It was shit. I can't think. And I said to the undertaker, yeah. I said, what happens to the coffin? She's got cremated, so I said, what happens to the coffin, my coffin, after the...
You're walking around the crematorium. Yeah. Where's my coffin?
What happens to the coffin after the thing? And he said, oh, it gets burnt up. Okay, we don't have to burn that up. Well, it's a good coffin. I could.
So, right, what you want to do is for everyone to watch her being taken out of the coffin... You then get the coffin. You're really happy with that. We all wait for you to put it on top of the car. She's still there.
Yeah.
And then you just watch her go into the flames. But you've got your coffin. You could reuse the coffin. You could die in that coffin.
Yeah. Well, look, she's smaller than me, but, you know, you could rent it out to other similarly sized dead old ladies. So, like, I would just rent out for 50 quid a go.
Rent out the coffin. So you park up outside. Yeah. You wait for like this poor nephew, because everyone else is too upset. The nephew's like, I kind of knew her. Like, he drags out the coffin. You strap it on like surfboards.
It's a business idea, isn't it? To take the dragon's
den. So hang on. In this podcast, you've told Robin Williams to be dead for 5 years. You're hiring out coffins.
Yeah.
Was it like a... Was the lining like, you know...
It was nice. It was a nice coffin. There's no need to chuck it out. They said it's health and safety. I go, it's not health and safety.
Health and safety.
It's not health and safety.
They might catch something.
So I just think it's a waste. I think it's a waste of money. They're expensive. That was cheap. Yeah. I didn't go for one of the posh ones. Fuck that.
Posh?
I didn't go for a posh. That was like the second. I didn't go for the cheapest one. I'm not. It's like if you're getting wine at the restaurant, you don't go for the cheapest one, but you go. You pretend to think, oh, I go for that one's nice, and you look cool because you haven't gone for the cheap one, but saved a bit of money, haven't you? But I miss her every day.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, let's try another question. What I was going to ask you last time, Because your character, right, that you do in stand-up, let's talk seriously. It's been fun to mess around, but the podcast starts here. I'm going to look really professional. I'm going to take out all the bits where I'm not looking professional, to everything up to now, and then it's just going to look really professional when it comes out. So, John, you you got an award-winning, double award-winning stand-up persona. You won the Best Newcomer, and then the next year, in an unheard of... It's good, isn't it? It's good when I'm being serious. In an unheard of... you won the Best Comedian as well in Edinburgh. No one's ever done that, apart from you. Where'd you get your crazy ideas?
Oh, I knew it was gone, but I knew that.
What I wanted to ask you,
I don't think you've ever seen me do a show.
I was on with you in that little club in. I might have left when you came on. Yeah, that pub. I saw you. You got like a wig, teeth, stuff, and it. Go, come on, go. Oh, hello, it's me. That's it. Pretty much it. What I was going to ask you in Edinburgh, I couldn't think of because I was tired, and I'm a little giddy now, but I'm fine. Oh no, look.
I couldn't think of a good time.
Fucking hell.
My watch
say?
My watch said, I didn't understand, I couldn't think of a good time. It's a watch and it can't think of a good time. That's fucking shit. Just tell the actual time, you fucking
you
piece of shit.
You didn't ask at the time.
I know, it's taking over. 5 to 10. So, if you're interested. What I'm interested in is when you... And I find this with a lot of people who do something a bit left field, right? And it's a taking a chance. You were doing stand-up. I've seen you do stand-up 2008 Chortle Awards. It's up on the Chortle. It's up on Chortle if people want to watch it.
Yeah.
So you're doing more traditional stand-up.
Yeah.
What is the process when you make the decision, I'm going to do something, I'm going to dress up, I'm going to make a character, and... How are you feeling when you're taking that to an audience for the first time? Or did it kind of grow organically out of something else? It's a proper question.
Well, I did stand up at uni, mm-hmm. and then I just carried on doing it whilst I had jobs in London. I did some showcases in Edinburgh, like... something called the Lunchtime Club with people like Susie Ruffle. And then I did Pleasance Reserves, where the Pleasants up in Edinburgh pick 4 up-and-comers, and I was one of them. And I was doing, I don't know, straight stand-up. But I'd been going for about 5 years, and I hadn't been paid for a gig. And I was bored. I don't know, I just couldn't... It was kind of, it felt a bit like a last roll of the dice a little bit,
yeah.
Where I kind of wanted to do something that made me laugh. Like, I did it for myself. So, weirdly, I think the idea for Hook was we did a fundraiser 3 months previous, and it was based on Robin Williams' films, and I acted as Mrs. Doubtfire, and I had to come on wearing a wig and false teeth, and the teeth weren't in properly, they kept flying out. And I hadn't enjoyed myself on stage like that for years. And so I thought, well, is there something I can do here with my own persona? And I guess without, you know, sounding too wanky...
It's too late for that.
Well, I just kind of, you know, I felt funny.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just, it's what I wanted to do. I was doing it for me.
But were you doing this in like regular comedy clubs, or were you doing it in the kind of, were you doing it in clubs where you were allowed to take
chances?
Well,
I just did the clubs where, you know, like ACMS and Weirdos in London. I worked at the House as a Parliament for 4 years as a tour guide. And so that was full time. I worked in the education department, all that kind of stuff. And then in the evenings, I just did the London open mics. And I only started doing that in November. And then when I won the newcomer award, I won some money, which allowed me to quit my job. And then the next year, I won the main award. So that was it.
Double bubble, wasn't it? It's a good prize money, wasn't it? For the Edinburgh Awards.
Yeah, $5,000 and 10 grand, yeah.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's good. It means you can give up your job.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, like, most of the people that talk about, say, the Edinburgh Award either never get nominated or they might get nominated but don't win it. Rarely someone who wins it will say it's a good thing. But for me, literally getting that $5,000 check from Emma, who worked at the awards, she, you know, in the November, she delivered it to Portcullis House where I was working. Right. I went out in my uniform. She handed over the award with my name on it. I had the check. It, you know, that meant I could get through. That allowed me to become a professional comedian, which I've been for the past 6 years. Yeah. So, it changed my life.
So did you do that character in comedy clubs then? Because when I saw you, we were in a like more of a comedy club, but we were doing previews, I think, weren't we?
In Putney?
Yeah.
No.
We're not doing previews.
You were, but I was doing a spot.
You're just doing a spot.
Yeah.
But that's, you're up an audience who might not know what they're going to get. And doing
go well sometimes.
Yeah. But it's that kind of decision to, you know, it's a bold move to take. And it must often not work out, but I don't end up talking to those people. But, you know, it works. It does. When people make that, when a comedian makes the decision to do the thing that they think is funny, but that is different than what other people are doing, it often turns out to be,
Well, it's belief. It's taking a risk. Like, you know, if I'm honest, some comedians will get, you know, worlds can be created for them. Like, oh, we know where to slot you. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen with me. Everything that I create has to be, I think, created by me. I have to create the world that I then think I can fit into.
Yeah.
And there aren't that many things on television where I can fit in. So I've done you can be in Dictionary Corner on Countdown, which I've done a couple of times.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm honest, that's tough because you do your 5 minutes. There's usually four stand-ups there that are probably millionaires looking at you thinking, yeah, that looks like a hard life choice that guy's doing. But there isn't any, I don't know, like there's no, for characters or character comedians, there isn't a Saturday Night Live.
No.
And I don't think that's down to, if I'm honest, I don't think that's down to the talent. It's down to that there isn't a producer like Lorne Michaels. I think the problem isn't with... There's plenty of people out there doing great things.
Yeah.
The problem is with producers.
Well, but the TV's changed so much. So, like, when, you know, in the 1990s, you could do a sketch show, you could do characters, you could... You know, there were outlets for that. You know, the Farce Show, which did better than Fist of Fun, some would argue. Does Paul Whitehouse sell copies of the DVD that he's printed up himself for that? Oh, no. He goes fishing, yeah. So fuck
him. And he plays granddad.
Yeah, he does. In Only Fools, he's doing all right. Might not have been the best person to choose. But you know, there was that outlet to do it, and now TV is very much...
If Only Fools and Horses, the musical, if you played granddad,
yeah,
who would be Del Boy?
I don't know, I would like Nicholas Lyndhurst to be Rodney.
Yes, you want... you want to... Right, so you... right, so your granddad... Yeah. Nicholas Lyndhurst as Rodney.
He's older than me, but he would play my grandson. I'd make him try and look young.
Right.
But...
Wow. And you're doing it. Just don't make up, people. Granddad has to make Nicholas Lindhurst look young.
I put some makeup on him. Just very white makeup, very thick. And
like Mikado.
Del Boy could be played by. yeah, no. Can't act. I'm trying to think of the name of the actual actor who played.
Robin Williams. Wow. That's selling.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We'll do that. What's the name of the bloke who plays Del Boy in real life? I can't think of his name.
David Jason.
There we go, that's it. That's what my brain froze. It's, you know, I'm,
you know who's I'm originally really, supposed
I'm really,
to play
I'm really tired.
Del Boy?
Who?
Jim Broadbent.
Originally, yeah.
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 And then David Jason was originally supposed to play Corporal Jones in Dad's Army. Because he was very good at playing older characters.
Yeah.
As he did in Porridge.
That's true. Any more? get him out of your system now.
Any more? What, famous people?
People who are meant to play the other people in the other thing. I can't leave any. I got to drive home after this. So it's Hey, look, I've asked you any emergency questions in this interview yet. No.
No.
Bloody hell. These people have come here. They've been here all week. They haven't seen a single emergency question. Exactly. If you could have one item from any art gallery or museum in the world and take it home and own it as yours, but you're allowed to have one thing for free, what one item from any museum or art gallery in the world would you take home and have as yours?
I've worked at two museums.
Yeah. Did you fancy taking anything home with you? Which museums have you worked at?
Natural History Museum.
Okay, big dinosaur.
Well, that's on tour.
It's what? It's on tour.
The Dippy, yeah. The Diplodocus. That's on tour.
It's on tour.
It's not in the main hall anymore.
Okay.
The blue whale's there now.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And I worked at the Science Museum.
Okay, yeah.
In a full-size replica of Wallace and Gromit's house.
Okay. What were you?
Huh?
What were you in the house? What
well,
were you
doing in 2008,
yeah.
The Intellectual Property Office wanted to get more people interested in, if they had an idea, getting the IP on it.
Yeah.
So they spent £2 million building a full-size replica of Wallace and Gromit's house.
Yeah.
Because he was an inventor.
Yeah.
And then the idea is that kids came in and learnt about intellectual property.
Okay. Was it just
Aardman? The recession
suing,
it.
Was it Aardman suing them for building the house without getting permission?
No, Aardman was there. I met Nick Park.
Okay, cool.
And you know who I let in for free one day?
Adam I, the video reviewer from Live and Kicking.
Raymond Briggs.
Ooh.
He came up to the desk.
Yeah.
And I love Raymond Briggs.
Did he just an old bloke come up and say, "I'm Raymond Briggs"? And you went, "Oh, great, I love you." How do you know what Raymond Briggs looks like?
Oh, I love him.
Okay.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Like, big fan.
Okay.
I traced. When I was 12, yeah. I traced with a biro the entire Father Christmas book. And then I bought a folder and like had it bound. And then I showed my mum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she saw the first page, and you know he says "Blooming Christmas."
Yeah.
She said, "Why do you have to make him swear?" So I tip-exed out all the bloomings.
Oh. Did Raymond Briggs turn up at the thing to have a go at you about the intellectual property theft? Did everyone just traces my books?
I wasn't selling it.
Doesn't matter.
No, yeah, but yeah, I let him in. He was with his grandson.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, mate, you go in. You go in. And they had the original sets.
What were you doing in there? Huh? I'd speak to a kid.
I'd speak to the kids. I'd
about
like,
what? What role? Were you dressed up as Wallace? What were you doing in Wallace and Gromit's house just as you? You've got to dress up as something. You can't just be a bloke in there. Welcome to Wallace and Gromit's house. Where are Wallace and Gromit? Oh, they're out at the moment. Let's fucking dress up as Gromit.
What, on all fours? Walking around? How would I speak to him? He doesn't speak.
You just raise your eyebrows in a quizzical manner to suggest their questions were stupid.
I don't know. They had to come up with an idea. They had to draw an idea.
Yeah.
And then I'd pin it on a kind of...
Well, you, John Cairns, go, "Hello, I'm John Cairns."
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No character at all.
What character would I be?
Just something that isn't just a bloke standing in a place he shouldn't be.
What do you mean, shouldn't be? I
work
there.
You should be in Wallace and... You should be in the science museum, but you shouldn't be allowed.
It's in the science museum. They didn't build a house in the middle of a neighbourhood.
Dress up as something.
What?
Dress up as something.
Well, I had to wear black trousers and a red polo top.
Okay.
With their faces emblazoned.
Okay.
And it said Wallace and Gromit's cracking ideas, and the idea was you got kids to come up with ideas, and then you pin them on a thing that went round the whole museum, and they watched it, and it was like, yeah, those ideas are going to Wallace.
Was every idea, why don't you get Wallace and Gromit to host this thing rather than this bloke? It's just a bloke.
Well, they had plasticine, there was the garden,
yeah,
and there was green plasticine. The idea was that they could make little trees.
So is that what you'd take from the science museum? What would you take from the science museum if you could have had one? There's loads of things in there. What would you take
home? Was that the
home?
Question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Wallace and Gromit's house. There we go.
There's loads of great things in the Science Museum.
Yeah. Stevenson's rocket.
Yeah, I'd take that home. Drive around in that.
Imagine drive around in that with your coffin.
That'd be great. How many old ladies would be shown off that way?
Do you know, Stevenson's rocket killed an MP?
I do, William Huskinson.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you.
Bloody hell, you did know that.
Yeah.
Have you got somewhere to be?
He's the first casualty of, well, obviously.
But he didn't go that fast.
I know. He was just dicking around, wasn't he? Wasn't he dicking around, just showing off to some girls? Look at me.
I read
this rocket, isn't that fast? It shouldn't be called a rocket. Oh, fuck. That's what happened.
I read an interview with Kilroy Silk.
Yeah.
I didn't realise he was an MP.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I only knew him from the TV show.
Yeah.
And he said he wants to be buried at sea.
Okay.
He just wants to be tossed in the sea.
Yeah. No good for my coffin. I can't reuse that coffin. It's gone. I'm with it.
You'd be like James Cameron going down to try and get it.
Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, wasn't he, as well?
Was he?
Yeah. Just saying. Robert Kilroy Silk wants to be back with him under the waves. Reunited. Leonardo DiCaprio was buried at sea, wasn't he?
Robert Kilroy Silk. Osama bin Laden and Leonardo DiCaprio just, in a line.
Reunited in death.
Loads of people must have been buried at sea.
Yeah. you, John Cairns, the 95-year-old veteran, sorry, buried at sea. Well, I reckon we got 15 minutes there. We got a good, 15 minutes. Are you glad you came to Winchester for this?
I've had a good time.
I've had a really good time. I don't think they have.
Well, they don't know who I am.
No. But you're funny, man. You're really funny.
I'm a lot better than I get credit for. Genuinely.
Yeah.
You've
won like every award. When you've won every award, when you go up the next
it
year.
It kills me.
Yeah.
You can get nominated loads of people like, genius.
Yeah.
You win them, they're like, you fluky bastard. whatever.
It's hard. It's a hard game. Lots of people have won those awards and, you know, that it's not, you know, there's a lot.
Well, I had to host the awards.
Yeah.
If you win the award, you host the award. And I had to host it with Flintoff.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
He was doing a show in Edinburgh.
Was he?
Yeah, and he ended it by singing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash.
Right.
Fucking hell, man. Anyway, I had to host it with him. And, yeah. You know, I like cricket. Yeah. In 2005, that was amazing. And I remember, you know, so I'm very excited to meet him. And he's not happy. Because he thinks he's just handing out the award. He doesn't actually think he has to say anything.
Right.
So I go up there with him, and I've never met him, in front of, you know, about this many people, maybe, and have to host these awards with him, and he is just in a foul mood. Anyway, he just goes, doesn't even really say goodbye. And then he was doing a podcast. Right. And I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to this, because he might talk about Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And he just starts slagging me off. He's like, well, I had to host these awards with, what's his name? At John's Fur Coat. He thinks my name's my Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And then he starts going, yeah, apparently he won the award the year before. I've never heard of him. You know, apparently, you know, I've heard of Frank Skinner and Al Murray, but who's this guy? And he just completely, he calls me socially awkward.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. And then he took the piss out of comedians winning the award. He went, God, when I read the name out, the place went crazy. Because Sam Simmons won it that year. Mm-hmm. And he was just completely taking the piss that he was like, comedy's supposed to be, how can you measure comedy? But, I agree. But at the same time, you know, this is a man who got... He got invited to number 10 because he won some, you know, ashes of an article in an urn kind of thing.
Yeah. It's pretty good what he did. The thing with cricket, you can measure how good you are at cricket by how good you are at it. It's got like a very measure. It's incredibly measurable. So when you're the best at cricket, you are generally the best. The best at cricket, whereas... if Freddie Flintoff went out in the centre, just thought, I'd put on a wig and put some funny teeth in, hope that works.
It is a testament to how good my material is that I can look the way I do and still achieve, gross 25 grand a year.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough business, comedy.
Yeah, it's odd.
I met Jimmy Tarbuck when I was about 23.
Did you see the picture of...
yeah, amazing, wasn't it?
Jimmy Tarbuck, John Lennon...
Peter Sissons.
And Peter Sissons.
Yeah.
In the sea.
Yeah. They were 6 years old. Do you see that photo? All three of them together in the middle of a group of boys.
That's mad.
Yeah.
I learned so much about Peter Sissons yesterday. Yeah. Shot twice in the leg in Nigeria.
I didn't know that.
Hosted Question Time.
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that. Okay. got in trouble for wearing a purple tie when he said the Queen Mum had died.
Didn't know that. Is this all you've learned about him? Because this isn't so far that good.
And then there's a clip of him watching Anne Robinson. Have you seen that?
No.
And he's on the news desk, and he doesn't know he's being filmed.
Right.
And he's waiting for, I think, Weakest Link to finish. Right. And he's watching it, and he's like, God, look at her. Brand new tits as well. I think he looked cool. I was watching all the pictures of him. He looked great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. Well, I've got a
surprise. He looked trustworthy. What?
I've got a surprise for you.
Robin Williams is like, you only had to do it for a day? I've been here 5 years.
Imagine if we got them out now and then said, well, that's the end of the I reckon people would be disappointed.
No, everyone would be so happy.
They'd be confused. They'd be too confused to be that happy.
Let's not forget, Robin Williams is sat there with the mic.
Yeah.
I'm like sat over here, just, you know, crying, can't believe my luck.
Yeah.
I see something in the wings about 20 minutes ago. I'm like, nah, can't be. You've told him whichever way I'm facing, make sure you come out the back. Taps me on the shoulder. I probably have a heart attack, collapse. I don't think many people will be like, yeah, fair enough, let's get out of here. Your watch starts kicking off again.
Oh, man. I think we're going to have to wrap it up. People have got homes to go to.
Well, I mean, I live 2 hours away.
Yeah. You want a lift?
Yeah, we can record the podcast in your car.
And just play it over. Yeah. Play it over the images.
Just dub it over the images. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
It's been my pleasure. What, you got your tour? Might be over by the time this goes out.
No, I'm doing a bit of tour in spring when this comes out. So, the show's called Double Take and Fade Away.
Yeah.
And, it's going up and down the country throughout the spring when this goes out.
Good. And are you going to go to the Edinburgh Fringe 2020?
Yeah.
We'll look out for you there. And definitely no more Top Coppers, or is there any chance? Is there just a little chance, you think, still? Could you get the guys back together again if there was a call?
Well, no one's worked since, yeah. We're all waiting.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause, John Kent!
Rahalastapa with me, Rich Tang, and my guest, John Cairns. Thank you to Pest for playing this music. Thank you to everyone at the Winchester Theatre Royal. It's a beautiful venue. I may have said that before. Thank you to everyone at GoFasterStripe.com, especially my band friend, Chris Evans, not that one. My producer for this show was the wonderful Ed Morrish. I had to give him a lift home, though. He's not that good a producer. Thank you also to my series producer, I'm indebted to Ben Walker, and of course our executive producer, goes without saying, is Jordan Ashley Logan Slovene Dennis Wells. Fantastic executive producer, perfect in every regard. Thank you, this is a FozGoFasterStripe.com and Sky Potato production. Head to GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy lots of downloads of my shows, DVDs of my shows, my books. Get all three Emergency Questions books, which is £20 at the moment, that's insane. You can also become a monthly badger at GoFasterStripe.com/badgers and help us make even more podcasts. We'd love you to do that, my fan friends. Goodbye.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.